Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
We can get back to praising God when we've heard what he wants to say to us today. There is a sense of awesomeness, as Clive has already indicated, about this morning. I have been awake and praying since 1 o'clock this morning over this message. As you know, I always expect God to speak through me, but on this occasion, he has actually told me what to say beforehand. He's still going to speak through me, you understand. And my prayer is that I will only say what comes from him by his Spirit and nothing else. But I want you to listen very carefully, because I don't want anybody going away from this meeting with an interpretation of what I've said, but with what I have said. Or really, what the Lord has said through me. Ever since the existence of this church, we had a kind, what I always call, a sister church. It was never part of Kingdom Faith, but the relationships between that church and this church were exceedingly close, and several of you here visited Pastor Enwald Flaughton's church in Bergen. A wonderful, wonderful church. And those of you who have been around here for some years will remember that on a number of occasions, Pastor Enwald came and ministered here with tremendous anointing and blessing. A man of great love, and that always came out in his ministry, and great spiritual authority. We had a very close personal relationship, and I would visit the church there at least twice, often three times a year. I would go nearly every year to their big annual conference. I would go at other times to speak to the church, to speak to the leadership, to speak in the Bible college. And there was a tremendous sense of affinity and unity between us. And whenever I went there, I was treated with such honor. It was very humbling and sometimes actually very embarrassing. But I only had to walk into a meeting and everybody would stand and they would clap and clap and clap and clap for several minutes just because I was there. And they were so pleased to see me. They really honored me. And because they honored me in such a way, every time I went there, there were exceedingly powerful moves of the Spirit. God did amazing things. Because there is a direct relationship between honoring the anointing on someone's life and releasing the power of the Spirit through their ministry. And so we would have these amazing times. I'm used to receptions like that wherever I go. Well, not quite like that. This was more than was usual. But you always are received so very well wherever you go in a ministry like mine. And I thank God for that. We don't look for that. It just happens. But this sort of unity that I had with the church there was something very special. It was almost like having a second church. Whenever I was there, I felt at home. I never felt as if I was a visitor. I felt as if I belonged there. And one of the amazing things is that over the course of years, the way the Lord led us here at Kingdom Faith and the way the Lord was leading the church there was always very similar. We were going through the same kind of things that they were going through, and they were developing in the same way that we were developing. Numerically, they were somewhat bigger than us and always were. But the same dynamics, you could get the same dynamic of worship, same dynamic of faith, just the same kind of life. And so whenever Pastor Enneville came here, he didn't come as often as I went there, but whenever he came here or Faith Camp, he always felt very much at home, as if he belonged. Now, all that is a sense of unity in the Spirit. Pastor Enneville, a few years back, had a breakdown. His one weakness, or one of his weaknesses, because we all have several, don't we? But his principal weakness was that he was a workaholic. And he would work all hours of the day and night. And it was simply because he had such a great heart. Such a great heart for people. And I always said to him, Enneville, you never know how to say no to anyone. And actually, sometimes wisdom decrees that you do say no. Anyway, he recovered somewhat from that, but was always sort of on the edge, really, for a while. And then, a couple of years back, he had another breakdown. Perhaps a little bit more than that. And I began to get some worrying messages about what was happening in the church there. I visited on, I suppose it would be about December, I think the beginning of December of 6. And Enneville, at the last moment, had to go away. They were an apostolic church like us. He'd planted many churches all over Norway, but also in other parts of the world. And there were some problems in a church of theirs in the Philippines. And he felt that he needed to go out and support the pastor and sort things out. So he wasn't there. And during the visit, I began to get some very uncomfortable feelings in the spirit. There's something not right here. Well, he came back from his trip and was ministering during the next 2 or 3 months. We probably had just the odd phone call now and again. But I got increasingly disturbed. And I heard that he'd had a return of his breakdown and that he was unable to minister. And as I was praying one day, God spoke to me and said, Colin, you must go immediately to Bergen. Now, I have a principle. I will never go anywhere uninvited. I wait to be invited. So I got on the phone to Enneville and said, look, the Lord spoke to me this morning and told me to come immediately to Bergen. And Enneville was almost in tears. He said, please, Pastor Colin, come. We're great friends. And I've always said to him, Enneville, you don't need to call me pastor. He would never call me Colin. And he said to me, I can't call you Colin. I've got to honor the anointing on your life. So I will always call you Pastor Colin. And he said, Pastor Colin, come, please come. And I said, well, I've got a busy schedule. I can only just come, this was, I think, on about the Tuesday. I can only come for a couple of nights. But I want to come and just talk to you and support you and pray with you and see if there's any way in which I can help you. So I got on the plane. And when I arrived at Enneville's house, he said, I've arranged a meeting for you with all the leaders in the church. I want you to go and talk to them. He said, I've got some real problems. And he said, he was in, you know, breakdown. He was shaking. He was just a shadow of his former self. And he said, I'm just in no state. I can't cope with it. Please, go and see what you can do. So I went to the church. I didn't have any time really to talk to Enevold. Apart from that, to really see, well, what is the nature of the problem? And they have, in the church there, they have a big kind of boardroom where there's an enormous table and you can get, well, there were 21 of them came to that meeting. You could get them all seated around the table. And so I walked in and, you know, they said all the usual kind of things. Oh, Pastor Colin, it's so good to see you. We need you so much. You're the apostle to this church. And, oh, there are some situations that we really need to see resolution about. So I said, fine, I'm listening. And for the next 3 hours, I listened. I said to them, I want you to go around the table and just tell me what each of your perception is as to what's going on. I'm just here to listen. So for 3 hours, I listened without making any comment. And as they went round the table, I heard a lot of guff. I heard some of them saying, oh, we have such respect for Pastor Enevold, such an anointed man of God, and we're so thankful for his ministry, but we're having some issues with him. He's done this and this and this that is not righteous. And all these things were in the past. Nobody could point to anything that he was doing wrong in the present. It was as if people had been raking up things from the past that they or others in the church would hold against Enevold. Now, the church grew to about 2,500 people. You don't build a church like that unless you know what you're doing. And some people are going to get upset because that's the nature of people. They tend to get upset, especially if there's strong leadership, because you can't build a church of 2,500 without strong leadership. So I heard one after another like this, with some exceptions. There were a few who were saying, I don't relate to what these others are saying. Pastor Enevold has really been flowing very strongly in his anointing. And it was obvious by the end, I can't go into too much detail because of time, but I was saying absolutely nothing, but I was counting. And at the end of the 3 hours, there were 14 rebels and 7 submitted people. I perceive very well. And the rebels were all saying, we are on the side of righteousness. It was almost like a mantra. It was almost like something that they'd got together and conceived and said, we're on the side of righteousness, but there's unrighteousness in Pastor Ennevold, and he must go. Now, that whole church had been built around his anointing. And I could see that what these guys were doing, seeing that he was now very frail and unable to fight and stand, they were just seizing an opportunity to take control. But of course, the seeds of that rebellion went back some way, which was why in my previous visit, I'd felt so uncomfortable with some of those leaders. Now, I want you to be aware, most of those leaders I have known for years. And they were wonderful men and women of God. There were two ringleaders. One I'd always been just a little bit suspicious of. The other I didn't know very well because he was the missions director, so he was usually not there when I was there. He was off around the world visiting their various missionaries. But most of those people were tremendous, wonderful men and women of God. And they so honored Ennevold because he had raised them all up in ministry. Those people wouldn't have had a ministry if it wasn't for him. And I thought, dear Lord, what spirit has got in here? A spirit has got in and turned these people against their anointed leader. What is happening? Well, I then, in the next couple of days, had a series of meetings with all the main leaders. And some of those were in the rebels, and some were in the submitted. And so I really did talk with these guys. You know, what do you think you're doing? What's your agenda? Oh, well, we're just concerned for Pastor Ennevold. Oh, you know, you get all the gush, all the right words. We love the man so much, but... And I began to understand that Ennevold had been on the receiving end of something so demonic that had been projected at him through these leaders. Without realizing it, there was such a wrong spirit, and it was all directed at him. No wonder the man was having a breakdown. And when I talked, there was some on the submitted side were some very, very good people. The principal of the Bible College and the youth pastor, they were really contending for the Lord, let me tell you. In the midst of all this other stuff. And they said to me, we really believe that Ennevold is only in the condition now that he is because of what has been projected towards him. So I could see this was a situation that was going to take some real sorting out. So I went back and talked to Ennevold. I listened to what he had to say. I told him what charges some of them were bringing against him. And I wanted to know what... And it was all stuff in the past. I mean, I said to these guys, look, Ennevold is an anointed man of God. If ever he stepped out of line, if ever he's made mistakes, if ever there's been anything he's done that's been unwise or wrong, God would have dealt with him, God would have forgiven him, God would have restored him, because you've seen the anointing on his life. So what on earth do you think you're doing, raking up things from years ago? What's your agenda? And of course I didn't get, oh, well, we just want righteousness. Oh. Everybody wants righteousness in the church. You don't need to say it if you really want it. So I went back, and Ennevold said, Pastor Colin, please, please, please stay till Sunday. Talk to the church. The church needs you. Well, I'd heard that while Enneville had been ill and these guys had been sort of therefore taking control, quite a lot of people had been drifting away. And I said, well, Enneville, I can't have any, I've only brought stuff here and I've only got an air ticket for, you know, to go back tomorrow. And he said, never mind that. I'll give you a shirt. I've got a brand new shirt. And this is it. This is the shirt he gave me. I thought I'd put it on this morning. So it's a very nice shirt, actually. Probably better quality than I would ever buy for myself. But so I said, okay, I'll stay and I'll talk to the church on Sunday. And then he said, Pastor Colin, we have been in covenant relationship for many years with one another. Please, please. The doctor says, I can't go back to ministry for 6 months. Will you come for 6 months and lead the church? Now, I was only just really getting back into full swing after my own illness. I said, Enneville, 6 months. He says, yes, you can see it's going to take that time to turn this whole situation around. So I said, well, look, let me just pray about this. Let me talk to the other elders back at Kingdom Faith. So this was on the Friday. I then got a phone call on the Saturday morning from Enneville to say, can you come immediately to my house? Because so-and-so is going to be here. So-and-so, no names, is regarded as the leading prophet in the whole of Scandinavia. And just as God had talked to me and told me to go to Bergen, he'd also told him to go and see Enneville. He happened to be in Norway. He's not a Norwegian. He happened to be in Norway because he was ministering at another church in the city that weekend. And God had given him a prophecy about the church. It was a vision, really, of a great banquet that was laid on a table. And there were certain leaders in the church that were sitting under the table laughing at Enneville. And what they did was to pull the tablecloth so that everything on the table got demolished, smashed, spoiled, ruined. And then this prophet said to Enneville, do you have a photograph of your staff? And he said, well, I don't here, but down the church we have a leaflet that introduces each member of the staff with a photograph. So he said, send somebody or phone up and ask somebody to bring, because we were in Enneville's house. So it was awesome because this leaflet was laid out and this prophet said, God showed me the people. Now, he didn't know this church like I knew the church. He'd visited every now and again to prophesy, but he didn't know the leaders. And he pointed, that one, that one, that one, that one, they are the ringleaders. Absolutely spot on. God had showed him. So, and he told them, he'd shown them how they were in rebellion against God for all their talk of righteousness, that they were in rebellion against Enneville, and that they would ruin the church if they didn't repent. So that was on the Saturday. There am I going to speak to the church on Sunday. Well, the word got around that I was there and I was going to go to the church. So all the people that had been drifting away, they all came back and the place was packed out. When I walked in there that morning, I got such a reception as you wouldn't believe. It was as if there was an enormous sigh of relief that I'd come. You know, as if people were saying, well, now we're going to get some sanity. Now we're really going to hear what God is saying. Well, when it came to the message, I began preaching. I mean, the worship was dead compared to what it normally was. I thought, this spirit is affecting the whole church. So I began to preach and brought what God was saying. And then I said, Pastor Ennevold has asked me to come and pastor you for 6 months. Well, I mean, the place erupted. Everybody stood, they clapped, they cheered. Now, Norwegians are not known to be demonstrative like this. But it was awesome. It was very humbling. And I said, now, I'm prepared to do this, but I've got to make it absolutely clear that I'm coming to sort things out. And I didn't go into all the details of it or name people or anything like that. But I told of this, what God had shown me, how there was a wrong spirit in some of the leaders, and they were all there. And I said, this has got to get sorted out. And then I talked about the prophecy. What I didn't know is this prophet was in the back because there were a lot of people there. See, I couldn't see him. If I'd known he was there, I'd have got him to come forward and give the prophecy himself. But I told him just the bones of it, and the danger was that this church was going to get destroyed unless these issues weren't. Well, I mean, I had to leave immediately afterwards and go to the airport to catch my flight home. I said, well, I've got to go home. I've got to get sorted out. I can't come next week because I'm doing a conference in Italy. So it'll have to be 2 weeks before I come, and I'll bring Caroline back, and they were going to get a flat and a car and everything. And the leadership, you see, they were all saying, yes, 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 we want you. But after that message, I heard what happened. I heard what happened because we had two of our people, youngsters, in the Bible school there, Mark and Becky. And they'd been in the middle of all this. So I'd also talked to them because I was concerned for them. And they told me what had been going on. And they said, it's just been unreal what these men have been doing. They've been publicly writing to the press, the national press, and pulling Ennevold down publicly. They'd been making all kinds of accusations. Said it's been terrible. So I come back. I heard that later that Sunday, the rebels got together and had a prayer meeting against Colin Urquhart. And somebody went there and they said they were calling down curses on you. Now, this is a church that you would say was pretty identical to Kingdom Faith before all this. They were pouring down curses, they were praying against you, they were binding you, they were doing, you know, as if you were some kind of demon. And he said, this person was there. He said, I got out. He said, I'm not being part of this. So I was unaware of this, but on about, I think it was either the Monday evening or the Tuesday, I got another telephone call from one of the submitted guys. Ennevold was too ill to phone me himself. He said, Pastor Connor, you've got to come back. You must come back immediately. The situation's getting out of hand. He said, now that their bluff has been called, all kinds of things are happening. You've got to come back immediately. So I said, I can't. I'm speaking at a conference in Italy the weekend, and I never like canceling, especially this late. And they said, you must come, you must come, you must come. And they kept phoning and said, Ennevold's pleading with you to come back. Well, because of my covenant commitment to him, I felt I had to go. So I phoned the guys in Italy and said, look, explain the situation. There's the future of this whole church is in the balance, and I feel I must go. When I got there, none of the rebels would meet with me. I said on the phone, I want a meeting with all these guys. only the submitted ones turned up. So I sent a message to each of these. You excuse me for calling them rebels, but that's exactly what they were. They wouldn't come to talk to me. They had had a meeting, apparently, before I arrived, and made this collective decision to completely disregard me and have nothing to do with me. But I walked back, when I was there, I walked back into a truck. It was as if what had been directed at Ennevold was now directed at me. And I tell you, to be on the receiving end of that stuff is not fun. I could understand why the man had a breakdown. I mean, it was as much as you could do to sort of survive, let alone get through it. And I thought, dear Lord, these people have just opened the way for the devil. It was terrible. Well, when it came to the Sunday, I mean, I talked to all those who would talk to me, and we had some tremendous times. I was able to help them and help them minister to them, you know, because they were in the middle of all this stuff. And I must be fairly quick now, but on the Sunday, in that church, all the leaders sit on the front row, and on the Sunday, the front row was empty. They all boycotted the meeting because I was speaking. And I said to the people, you know, God, I explained, look, I'm here. I've cancelled a meeting to be a conference to be here. And now, just as these men who have honoured Ennevold so much and are now dishonouring him, and over the years have honoured me so much, they're dishonouring me. And God has said, you cannot come and work for 6 months with rebels. So it was like a parting of the ways. People were in tears. I was saying, this is probably the last time I shall stand on this platform. But I want you to know that my heart is with you. And I know that the Spirit of God is going to care for every one of you. To try to justify their actions, the rebel group invited another well-known speaker from another church in Scandinavia, plied them a whole lot of misinformation. Because they thought if they had somebody of this other guy's stature backing them, that would give them some credibility. When he came, this man came to speak on the Sunday after I left. I mean, it must have been a very strange meeting. Somebody sent me a transcript of it, because, of course, it was all in Norwegian. But this man began to speak against me and what I'd said and done. And people were standing up in the congregation and saying, that's a lie. Colin Urquhart never said that. Colin Urquhart brought us the word of God. What you're saying is complete rubbish. One after another were intervening. And then people just began to walk out. That church, within a few weeks, had dwindled to 150 people. And those 150 were those in the cell groups of the rebels. Everybody else had left because they saw they weren't, well, they could not sit under that kind of spirit. And I was glad to get out of Bergen because I got out of that pressure that was spiritually being aimed at me. I mean, I didn't want to go on the one hand because of the people, but I was so glad to get out of it on the other hand. And Caroline will tell you that it took me some weeks to get over just being subjected to that for a few days. And I was in touch, of course, because of our two out there, with the information, with what was happening. They were speaking against Enervold, even in the Bible school, these men, when they were preached, so our two would refuse to go to the lectures when the rebels were speaking. It was, bah! But you've got the picture by now. You probably wonder why I'm telling you all this. After all this time. Last February, something happened. And I want to make it absolutely clear that there is nobody in this church that is a rebel in the way that those people were rebellious. I want to make that absolutely clear. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual forces of wickedness. But something happened, and I was immediately under attack by that same spirit. Caroline will tell you that for a week I hardly slept and lost half a stone. And I was praying and praying and praying and saying, "Devil, you're not going to do to Kingdom Faith what you did in that church in Bergen." And I knew that what was happening, the people involved in what was happening, would never want anything like that, wouldn't want to be part of anything like that. It was a spiritual thing. But why was it happening? Because I was not being honored as I had been. People were disregarding what I was saying. So they were dishonoring instead of honoring me. Respect, yes. Oh, we respect you, Pastor, but they weren't honoring me. And there's a big difference between respect and honor. When you honor someone, you obey them. When you honor them, you take notice of what they say. When you honor, you respond to what they say. You do not push it away. You do not say, "No, that's not right. No, that's not true." You honor the anointing. It's not honoring the person. It's honoring the anointing of God on the person. And I was suddenly being attacked in this same way that I experienced in Bergen. And I said, "No way." Now, some of you have been wondering why in recent months I've come out with some pretty strong statements. Let me tell you, they're not against people, but I've had to speak over this congregation sometimes and said, "Devil, you're not getting in here." Now, Caroline will also tell you that ever since, that's nearly a whole year now, I have hardly had a proper night's sleep. I talked about what it meant to be an apostle. I tried to give you a little insight a few weeks ago. You wouldn't believe some of the comments that have come back from me. I mean, a lot of you found it very helpful. But some people, I thought, wait a minute. What I'm telling you this morning is what it's really like to be an apostle, to be sent by God into situations like that. This is apostolic ministry. You don't see much of my apostolic ministry. Right. You don't know what God is doing with me when I'm not here. Right. Yeah. I'm not on some trip, ego trip. It's not that I want to. You've got to submit to me. I'm not that kind of guy. But I will fight to my last breath for this church. I'm not going to see the work of a lifetime destroyed. And I'm not going to see you guys get hurt. Now, that's not the intention of anybody. But the point is this: when you stop honoring the anointing, the devil gets his opportunity. And he will never, ever miss an opportunity that he's given. When I was at faith camp, for the first time, for many years, I did most of the main sessions, five of the evening meetings, of the seven evening meetings. And I was having to battle so much. And you know, you get into the main hall of faith camp, and you're all prayed up for the meeting. I get in there, there was division, there were disputes, there were wranglings, and relationship issues, and I thought, this is crazy. What is going on here? I later found out all kinds of things were going on behind my back at faith camp. And you see, people don't understand that when they do that kind of thing, they're releasing spirits. I was having to fight against what was going on behind my back. I didn't know what it was, but I sure knew something was happening. Well, things came to a bit of a climax back in October, or end of September. September, I think, end of September. I don't know, somewhere around there. And, you know, somebody spoke to me in such a way that I could see they were completely dishonoring the anointing on my life. And I went back to God and I said, Lord, what do I do? What has been said to me is a load of rubbish, I know that. But what do I do? And he said, you must address the whole congregation, because the whole church is under attack from the enemy because of what I am going to do through Kingdom Faith in the future. The enemy is trying to prevent it. Well, I couldn't preach for 3 or 4 weeks after that because I was away preaching every weekend. But back in probably October sometime, I think, latter part, I spoke here one morning, what I called it was like doing an apostolic visitation to my own church. And I spoke apostolically and into the situation. And if you remember, the burden of the message was, it's no use us knowing the gospel if we don't apply it to every situation in our lives. And I told you that just prior to that, God had given me this vision of the mighty warrior. Perhaps you can understand why he does that, or why he did that. I mean, God never does anything without good meaning, purpose. And perhaps you can see that I was in the middle. I was on the, because this was constantly streamed against me, the spiritual thing, ever since February. And I was having to fight this thing off all the time. That's why I was up sometimes for hours at night just praying, and boom, saying, you're not going to get your way. You are not coming in here. You are not. And I was trying to preserve you from talking to you about it all. Thought, well, we're going to get this thing licked just nice and quietly. Then God said, no, you've got to address it in the church, because people in the church are being influenced by this without realizing that it's happening. And so I was very strong at the end of that, and some people thought, phew, I was strong, where's that coming from? And I think some of you probably thought I was on some authority kick. Well, if you did, I forgive you. Because I think you can see now, that's not where I was coming from at all. Goodness me, I got over that years and years ago. If I was ever on it, I don't think I was ever on it. But. So the situation was addressed, but it wasn't resolved. And various things have happened since then, and with several people that have been involved, there's been repentance, there's been forgiveness, there's been everything that there needs to be. I can't say that is the case with everybody. Not everybody involved has there been repentance as yet. I trust that after this morning that will be the case. Because when you repent, you have to admit that you've been wrong and ask for forgiveness. Until such time, a wrong spirit can operate, whether a person intends it or not. And I'll say it again, just so that you... Every person in Kingdom Faith is a precious brother or sister in Christ to me. I'm not speaking against anyone. I'm speaking against what the devil does. So, the elders thought that I should speak this morning about this before our vision meeting on Wednesday, so that we as a church can stand up in faith and come against everything that has been coming against Kingdom Faith. But before we do that, I just need to talk to you for a little while about what it means to honor the anointing and what it means to dishonor the anointing. You can see, and this is why God told me to go into the whole Bergen thing, and he said, don't rush it, you let everybody fully understand. Because you see, when I was talking the other day about, you know, what the ministry of an apostle is, I was being rushed because I wanted to get on to the rest of the message about being an apostolic people. I didn't want to talk about myself much. And God said, you've got to help people to understand really what is at stake. You see, the point is this. I mean, one of the things I said the other day, which some people found difficult, was I just said what God said to me, that the highest authority, the greatest authority that man can receive is that of an apostle. Right. Now, you've only got to look at your Bible to see that's true. I don't know why should anybody should take exception to it. I didn't want to hear it, because every time God says things to me like that, I know I'm in for another spiritual battle. I've got to actually apply that. God was saying to me, come on, you've got to stir up your apostolic anointing and come against this stuff. Even more than you have been. So, and you've just got to see the whole situation opened up so that it can be dealt with and the thing doesn't fester like it did in Bergen and then become a major problem. So, the trouble is that when people dishonor the anointing, they come under deception. And a spirit of deception, because what is the devil? He's the deceiver of the brethren. And then when people are deceived, they don't hear what you say, they won't understand what you say, they won't accept what they say. It seems to go in one ear and out the other, as if you'd never said it. And people that before I know would honor me and listen to me and respond to what I was saying, this kind of thing was happening. Now let me just quote what is really the key scripture for us this morning from Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Let me tell you, my life since February has been a burden. You can probably understand that this morning. And it's only a small group of people that I'm aware of. There may be others that I'm not aware of. That the enemy was using for a time to project all this stuff towards me, and until everybody's repented, that's still likely to be the case. You honor the anointing on the leader when you obey the leader. But before we talk about honoring the anointing on the leader. Let's talk about honoring the anointing on your own life. You see, every one of us has an anointing from the Holy One. The most precious thing about you as a person is your anointing, because your anointing is Christ in you. Your anointing is the Holy Spirit. You've got to guard that anointing, because God wants you to flow with that anointing. So God doesn't want anything in your life that is going to be counterproductive to the anointing. He wants rivers of living water flowing out of you as a believer. He wants you to honor the anointing on your own life. If you don't honor the anointing on your own life, how are you going to anoint the honoring on any, honor the anointing on anybody else's life? I mean, this is the most precious thing that God could give to anyone. The anointing of the Spirit of Christ. So you're a holy person, you're a precious person, you're someone that God has set apart so that He can flow in your life and through your life and be a blessing to other people. But you're undermining the anointing on your life if you're not submitted then to one another. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. What does that mean? It means you honor the anointing on your brothers and sisters. What does that mean? You will never judge them. You will never speak against them. We are in covenant with one another, yes? Do you remember one of the things in that covenant is, if anyone speaks evil of you, I will defend you and I will refuse to speak evil of you myself. Well, some people have been speaking evil of me, as they were of Ennevold in Bergen. It's not just me, it's the whole leadership, you understand. The elders have had to contend with this, but I've been the principal target. Because, you know, if the devil can knock down the strongest anointing, that's the beginning of his victory as he perceives it. So, dear God, I hope I never ever have to talk to you like this again. I just believe that this will be the last time we will ever need to have a session like this. But we've got to honor one another. Now, honor is not respect. You can respect a person without honoring them. You can respect a person because of who he is, or because of the position he holds, or because he's a brother or sister in Christ, but you only honor the person when we come to leadership. You only honor leadership when you obey the leadership. You only honor your brother and sister when you refuse to speak evil of them, when you defend them, when you pray for them, when you help them and build them up and love them and encourage them, and not allow any negativity to get into your spirit. Why? Because if you judge anyone, what's happening? If you judge someone, you haven't forgiven them. And if you haven't forgiven them, you are not forgiven by God. And if you are not forgiven by God, you are a prime target for the enemy. You are easily going to be deceived. And you see, this is why I spoke on that Sunday about apply the gospel. Don't just know it, do it. Never judge, never condemn, never speak against any of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Defend them. So the enemy does not get a foothold. There's a scripture that says, give no opportunity to the devil. When we do things in an unbiblical way, we give opportunity to the devil. And we've got to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And this is you've heard me say it before, but I trust you understand it a bit more. You can only be submitted to God if you're submitted to God in the body where he puts you, if you're submitted to one another, and if you're submitted to the eldership, the leadership. Right. I have a dual role as elder and apostle. So, how do you dishonor the anointing? Let's get rid of the negative, then we'll talk about positive. I mean, this is really about leadership. Yeah, we've got to honor the anointing on one another. We've got to on ourselves and on one another. Very, very important. But I can't talk about that in depth this morning. It's not time. How do you dishonor? You judge. You criticize. You talk about your leaders behind their backs. You're actually seeking to undermine their authority. You are no longer honoring the anointing, so you are dishonoring It's not just the person, it's the anointing on the person. Now, some of you are not going to like this, so you better listen very carefully. Where does the seed of rebellion begin? When the one in leadership speaks and somebody says, I don't agree. That's the seed of rebellion. I'm not talking about having a discussion about whether we should meet at 10 o'clock or 10:30, or whether we should have one service or two services. I'm talking about when the leader brings a word from God, you say, well, I don't agree. Because you see, your disagreement is not with the person, is not with the messenger, but with the Lord who gave the message. And if you're only going to accept what you agree with, then you have placed yourself above the leaders. And you're saying, well, the leaders are only right when they agree with me. It's not me agreeing with the leaders. The leaders have got to agree with me. I will only accept what they say when they agree with me. Now, can you see that's topsy-turvy? Listen. In my role as an apostle, I have spiritual perception, which is beyond what you have. I'm not being proud or arrogant. If you had my spiritual perception, you would be an apostle. If you had my anointing, you would be an apostle. If you understood things as I understand them, you would be an apostle. But you're not. So I expect you to honor the anointing on my life. And when I bring something from God, you don't dismiss it. You don't say, oh, that doesn't apply to me. I've got no, I don't need to respond to that. I don't agree with that. Why? Because what we're talking about, what I've been talking about all morning without mentioning the word, is the heart. You see, what had got into those people in Bergen was something that made their hearts impure, gave the devil wonderful opportunity, destroyed a church. Even the secular media was saying that church, which was a defining church in the whole nation, was now nothing, just no better than an ordinary church. These were non-believers, the press and television program. It was big news. It was national news, all the stuff that I've been telling you about. I mean, when I went back the last time, I had the press there at the airport waiting. And there, front page of the national newspaper was me getting in a car at the airport. That was big news. And refusing to say anything, let me tell you. The other guys were talking very freely to the press with all their misconstructions and misinterpretations, but I refused. But you see, if we're to move ahead in unity, do you remember when we had that meeting, we all got in lines like the Roman army, said nothing must come between us? So how do you know whether you've unintentionally been a victim of what has been attacking? Well, just think. Have I or Clive or any of the other leaders said something in recent months and you said, I don't agree? There it is. Right. Have any of you been criticizing us, talking to others about us behind our backs? There it is. Have any of you been judging us in any way? There it is. Have any of you taken offense because of something that we have done or said? There it is. And some of you have. People leave churches because they take offense. That's a terrible sin, because it means they walk away without forgiving and they take their offense somewhere else. See, some of you, when I started to speak, and you know, about the way I was being acclaimed and welcomed and honored in Bergen. Some of you could have been sitting there thinking, ah, oh, there he goes again. He's on some sort of self-kick, some authority kick. Well, there it is.
Right.
Yeah. There it is. There it is. Isn't it insidious? But it spreads.
Right.
Now, you see, the majority of people in the church in Bergen were not affected. But all those who listened to the criticisms became infected themselves. And when I talked to the people that were really still in a place of submission to God, they had told me how they had had to withstand the same spirit, the same pressure coming upon them. I was told later that, you know, what they tried to do when they took control of the church was to sack the seven good ones. And they brought such pressure to bear on the principal of the Bible school, because he refused to resign. He was standing, for the sake of the students, he was standing firm. Put such pressure on him, he had a breakdown. Those 14, shall I tell you what happened to them? I don't know in detail, but what I was told was that some of them had breakdowns. A lot of them had sickness in their families. If you read the scriptures and somebody's in rebellion, things are going to happen in your family. Of the 11 of them that were in full-time ministry, only one was in full-time ministry after about 3 or 4 months. Could just literally taken the carpet. They took the tablecloth away from the banquet, but God took the carpet away from under them.
Right.
You can't deal with God like that.
Absolutely.
So we don't want any of this insidious little stuff going on and getting around. I don't suppose, at least I trust, that there isn't anybody here that would intentionally be in that position. But when people stubbornly refuse to acknowledge it and repent, you begin to get very concerned. So I prayed, Father, may they be one. And what we're going to do in a moment is we're going to stand up and we're going to pray. And first of all, there's going to be the opportunity, just quietly, for anybody to repent. If you realize that, you know, you're one that's been saying, don't agree with that, don't like that, he shouldn't do this, he shouldn't have said that, you know. No place for it. Not just here, but in the body of Christ anywhere. Because if we're going to... Look, I'm sure there's lots of things I should have said that I haven't, but listen to this. Christ means the anointed one. At Caesarea Philippi, Jesus said to the disciples, who do men say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ, the anointed one. Jesus then told them that they were going to be crucified. He was going to be crucified, but he would be raised from the dead. Peter takes him aside, and he says to Jesus, not so, Lord. And Jesus looks him straight in the eye and says, get behind me, Satan. Why? He's just acknowledged that he is the anointed. He's honored Jesus as the anointed one. 5 minutes later, he is dishonoring the anointing. And when you dishonor the anointing, that's Satan.
That's right. Come on. That's it.
You become the mouthpiece of Satan, not the mouthpiece of God.
Right.
You see, it's all there in the scriptures. I could take you through many, many more scriptures, but there isn't time. We've just got to do some business with God because we're going to have a wonderful year.
Yes.
And it's going to be so important for you guys to be here at the vision meeting on Wednesday. You can understand why God was talking to us in the revival days about the whole business of authority. You see, the trouble is not everybody was there. Now look, if you're going to honor the anointing on this church, if your pastor tells you these are going to be the most important days of the year and we all need to be together, you don't arrange to go off and do something else. Not if you honor the anointing. You say, right, the pastor says it's important for me to be there, so I should be there. I'm not going to arrange to do other things. I'm to be there because I'm under the anointing of God in this church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the anointed one. He's raised up anointed people to lead us. So when they say we need to be there, we need to be there. It's not a question of attending meetings. It's needing to be there where you should be, where God wants you to be. So if we'd got all this sorted out then, perhaps we wouldn't have needed to have this morning.
Right.
So, you know, the Lord made it clear to us, well, you've got to speak when everybody is there. So, we're not going to have another morning like this. But I tell you, together, as a body, we're going to send that spirit packing.
Right.
I've been awake since 1 o'clock, contending about this because, I mean, the opposition of the enemy to me doing this morning, you just wouldn't believe. I've had to fight through treacle all night. And all I've had is just that wonderful sense of the presence of the mighty warrior. So let's all stand. Now, I want you just to be still because, you know, this is not a time just to get all excited. I want you just to open your heart to God. We did that, didn't we, before I started the message. Now, if there is anything at all, that dishonors the anointing on your own life, ask God to forgive you. If you're involved in anything that is counterproductive to really being able to flow with the anointing of the Holy One that is upon you, if there's any unholiness, if there's any uncleanness, any disobedience that you're aware of, ask God to forgive you now because you're undermining the anointing on your own life. Of ourselves, we are nothing. Of myself, I am nothing. But what matters is the anointing of Christ on my life. The same is true for you. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. But it's the anointing of the Holy One that's on you that makes you such a special person, such a privileged person, a person for whom God has such an important purpose and task. And if you need more time to do this, then do it at home. Just get apart from God and get these heart issues, get your heart sorted out with Him. Now submit your heart afresh to Him. Bring your soul life, your natural life, under the anointing of the Spirit. So that your desires, your agenda, your purpose is not predominating, your reason, your understanding, your opinions. Just jettison all that lot and bring everything under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, under the Spirit of God. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Then if there's anything that you need to put right with others, you realize you haven't honored the anointing on your brother and sister. You haven't defended him or her. You've listened to gossip. You've listened to negative things. You may even have passed them on to others. You might have perpetrated them yourself. And it's time to say, Lord, forgive me for dishonoring the anointing on my brother or sister. Forgive me for judging. If you know there's any unforgiveness towards anyone, ask for forgiveness now. Lord, I want to be in the right place with you because I've forgiven. And I know from your word that if I do not forgive others, you will not forgive me. And I know that if I'm in unforgiveness, I'm just a prime target for the enemy. So, Lord, by your grace, I want to live in continual forgiveness of others. If you think you need to go to anybody to put something right with them, then agree with God that you're going to do that. Don't give any opportunity to the devil. Now, honor the anointing of those who are over you in the Lord. Do you understand? You cannot honor Christ without honoring the anointing on your own life, on others, and on your leaders. But your leaders stand for his authority. And if you don't obey your leaders, you don't obey the authority of God. That's what makes that so serious, because he is Lord. He is authority. If you've been one of those who say, I don't agree with that, get his forgiveness right now. Ask God to forgive your pride, because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and pride, arrogance, is as the sin of idolatry. See, because those guys in Bergen, witchcraft was happening. They're actually calling down curses. Enevold on me. Witchcraft, that is rebellion. That's not getting in here. So if you've been critical, spoken against your leaders, come on. Don't just ask for forgiveness. Get your heart right. Say, Lord, I want a submitted heart. I want a submitted heart to you. I want a submitted heart to those that you have put over me for my benefit, because your word says they keep watch as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Can you thank the Lord that he's given you leadership for your protection, to help you, to lead you, to see you grow and develop, to see the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose on your life? One of the ways in which you should be honoring your leaders is by praying for them, encouraging them, affirming them. If ever you hear something, you say, well, how can I accept that? You need to go to one of the leaders and say, look, just help me here, because there's something I don't understand. You don't dismiss it. You don't say, I don't agree with that. You go and get it sorted out. So you come into agreement with it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. I thank you that I can say before my brothers and sisters in Christ here, it's been a tough year, and all the battling that I've had to do against all this. But I thank you, Lord, that whatever has been attacking us, has not spread through us, has not caused division, has not brought dissension, that you have honored this prayer. And I just pray, Lord, that something gets released now into the body here, so I'm not on the receiving end of this battering ram all the time, that I don't have to keep praying and praying and praying like I have over this past year, but we can just see a mighty release now. I praise you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. I
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bora taparia zatu pakala sidri sanduba. Brota paria zatu pakala sidaba. Come on, let's exalt the Lord before we come against the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Kota paria zatu pakala sidri sanduma. Brostakaria zatu bakara sitri satu bakara sitri sandama. Brotaparia zatu bakara sitri sando bakara sitopa. Brostakaria sitri saratu bakara sitri sandama. Brostakaria zatu bakara sitri satu bakara sitri sandama. Brotaparia zatu bakara sitri satuba. Brotaparia sitri sando bakara sitri sandama. Brota paria zituri sare alaro bakara situri sanduma. Kota paria zituri satari alero bakara situri sanduma. Brota paria zituri satori alero bakara situri sanduma.
Now just thank the Lord that for all your sins, they are forgiven. They no longer exist. Hallelujah. When God forgives, they no longer exist. I praise God that all my past sins no longer exist. All those past things of Pastor Enneville, they no longer exist. Why would anybody want to rake up what doesn't exist? Unless they've got some agenda of their own. No, no, no. The past is dead, buried, finished with. Come on, let's praise God for that. Hallelujah. We are going into a new future. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Puta paraza tapaya. Oh, rasa taparia zatu bakara sitri satuba. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of his blood, we come against every spirit of rebellion. We come against every deceiving spirit. We come against every spirit of unbelief. We come against that Korah spirit that has been seeking to cause disruption in the body of Christ here. We come against every oppressive spirit in the name of Jesus. We come against every unclean spirit in the name of Jesus. And say you have no part, you have no place here in the body of Christ. We command that you release every person connected with Kingdom Faith from any of your influence. We confront you with the blood of Jesus. We confront you with the victory of the cross. And we proclaim the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ over you and all your oppressive work. And we speak the liberty of the Holy Spirit over this meeting, that we will enjoy the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Hallelujah! 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 Paparazata bakarazato bakarazituba. Barata pariazato bakarazituba. Come on, let's really rejoice. Oh, we're going to praise God now. We're going to exalt Jesus Christ because he is the anointed one. He is the head of the church. And we are all submitted to him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
You know, God's just spoken to me just before we praise. God's just spoken to me and he said, I need to say this to you. Some of you said, oh, well, now I understand. Oh, now I understand so much more. I can honor the anointing. I can submit in that way. Now I understand. Listen, my friend, you should have done it before you understood, because it's the word of God. You don't wait until you understand before you do it. If it's in the word, you do it. Then you will understand it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's go.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.